St. Matthew chapter 14, begin reading at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind of Bosomus, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now the Lord would increase his disciples' faith. Now here is how that he did that. He put them in a ship. He sent them out to sea, knowing they would encounter a storm. He knew what was going to happen, but he knew that these disciples was under his watch care. And if only the disciples could have known that and remembered that, they would have been blessed. The storm overpowered the ship, and the winds and the waves were so huge they lost control of the boat. Jesus went unto them, walking upon the sea, and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thee, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter stepped out and began walking upon the water. And then he felt the strength of the wind blowing in his face, and he felt the waves rolling under his feet, and he began to sink. Now it was clearly the spirit of fear that caused Peter to sink. His fearful doubt took his eyes off of Jesus and glued them to the circumstances around him. You see, Satan don't want us to grow and the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can get our eyes upon him and get us our minds scattered on the circumstances around us, he has won the battle, because we will begin to shrink and to sink in all of our Christian virtues. Now we all walk upon the ever-changing waters of lives. And how contrary the evil winds that blow across the waters of life are. How hard and unpleasant they make our lives. Our eyes are fixed upon the troubles that surround us, and we begin to sink. Now the first thing to sink in Peter was his vision of Jesus. You see, Now, if the devil can get our attention with circumstances around us, then he's got our attention upon him, and we have taken our eyes off of Jesus. Now, the devil tempted David one day. He said, "Looky here, David, you're having such a hard time. I want to show you how the wicked live." And David said unto himself, "When I saw the wicked prosper, I began to think that I had got right with God for nothing." So you see, if the devil can get us looking upon these things, he has got our eyes off our Lord. Now the second thing that the saint was his faith. Oh, my friends, there are thousands of people today living in sinking faith. Now the third thing the saint was his zeal and his desire to go to Jesus. I couldn't tell you the thousands and thousands of God's people who have lost their zeal and their desire to follow Jesus. Now the fourth thing to think was Peter himself. His eyes off of Jesus, his faith gone, his zeal and desire was gone. There was nothing left to hold him up. Dear friends, we've got to have these things in our life to keep us on top of things that are really happening to us in our lives. We must never take our eyes off of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with a desperate crying, Peter felt himself sinking, and he was going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper as he sank into the angry waves of the sea. And with a desperate last opportunity cry, he shouted, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now this is the same hand that created all things that we know today. The hand that made the world. The hand that made the celestial bodies. The hand that created all things, including man. Now the hand that lifted David out of the horrible pit was the same hand that reached out to pull Peter out of the angry waves. Now the same hand that led his children out of Egypt and to the promised land is the same hand that's reaching to us today to lead us into the full blessings of God. Now Jesus reaches out his hand to save Peter from the stormy sea. These are the same hands that was nailed to the old rugged cross and bled there on the same center like you and I. Now these hands are on the Lamb in heaven before the throne of God today, a lamb as it had been slain. Every time that Lamb raises his hands in heaven, the prints and the scars of the nails that held him to the cross in his suffering and death shows in heaven today. Now these are the same nails, my friend, the nail-scarred hands that he is reaching down. This same hand right now reaching to that one whose heart is broken and to that one who is sinking deeper and deeper into the spire upon the sea of life. He waits for you. He, in all the divine love that heaven could possibly give, he waits for you to call out, "Lord, save me, or I perish." Oh, yes, my friend, as he reaches out those nail-scarred hands, do you know what those scars stand for? It stands for divine love. For it was in love for sinners, for lost men and women, that Jesus stretched down his hands and allowed them to be nailed to an old rugged cross. Oh, my friends, hallelujah. Praise God. For a love that would give his life for a sinner like you and I. Now, my friends, as Jesus reaches out to you in love, in compassion, in grace, as he reaches out to you with his great hands of mercy today, he's calling you, he's pleading with you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll take your burden upon me. I'll take your hardships upon me. I'll take your trials upon me, and I'll set you free. And when you're free, and I set you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, dear friends, today I thank God that my soul has been lifted up before the Lord, and I'm free of burden. I'm free of anxiety. I am free, my dear friends, of worry and heartache and sorrow. Why? Because he has lifted me up out of the angry waves upon the sea of life. Time at the time. And when my burdens get heavy and my trials get unbearable and my temptations are greater than I am able to stand, I cry out, Lord, save me. And he reaches down with that divine hand of grace and love and mercy, and he brings me into his bosom. And if I'm not able to walk by faith, he carries me in his arms, embraced in his bosom. Oh, the Lord wants to extend his love unto all that be here in this place today. He wants to extend his hand of mercy, his grace, and his tender love unto all that will come and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me, Lord Jesus, from myself and from the sin that is around me. My dear friends, this morning we're talking about hands that hold us every step of the way. I'm kept by the power of God, and the power of God is the nail scarred hands of Jesus, and in them I put my trust, and in them he wants you to believe and to trust today that he will never fail you nor never leave you. It is so good today while walking upon the sea of life to know that if we do begin to see how that powerful hand of love and divine grace will just come down and will lift us out.